This evening, let's take our Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. We began looking at the book of Nehemiah. We've looked at the fact that Nehemiah had a burden for his land, having asked about it and having heard a report of the ruinous state that Jerusalem in particular was in, and how God then answered his prayer that he would be able to go back and do something about it, and the king sent him with all the supplies needed. Last week we looked at the fact that God used many different people, and God was organized to get the job done of rebuilding the walls, and how many different people of different backgrounds all worked together to get the wall done. And we talked about how God can use all of us, and no matter what our background, our circumstance and situation, God desires to use us and for us to work together for His glory. We have mentioned a couple times during the study that there sometimes was opposition to the work being started and opposition to it being done. And we really will deal more with that this evening, because chapter 4 is really when there's a lot of hindrances that come into play with the work being finished on the walls. And so we'll just look at the first 6 verses to get started, and then we'll have a word of prayer and get into the message, and then read the rest of the chapter as we come to it this evening. But in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the armies of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Entitled the message tonight, Overcoming Hindrances. We'll see in this chapter that there were many hindrances, but there was a plan to overcome those hindrances. And in our lives, we know that we'll face hindrances. Hindrances to doing what we need to do as people for God in particular. And we need to realize that that's not something unique to us and to our day. We need to realize that that is something that takes place often when God gives us something to do, that there's going to be hindrances to that that come from all different directions. And yet we learn from this chapter that we can overcome those hindrances as they come by God's grace and using the wisdom that He has given to us. So let's bow together in prayer. Lord, thank You again that we can look at this chapter. I pray, Lord, that You speak to our hearts tonight, and Lord, that we would recognize and realize that there are hindrances to the work that is to be done for You. There were hindrances back here in rebuilding the walls, a very physical task. And Lord, there are many spiritual hindrances or hindrances to a spiritual work that You desire to do in this day and in our lives and through our lives. And so I pray that You'd help us to realize the principles that were here used by Nehemiah and those that worked with him. And, Lord, that we would also realize that we can overcome the hindrances that come our way and carry on and finish the work that You've called us to do. We're thankful that we can read, as we just read in verse number 6, that the wall was finished unto the half thereof, because they didn't allow those hindrances to stop them in their path. And so, Lord, help us likewise to not let these hindrances that may afflict us to stop us from doing that which You've called us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at that first section, as we have done there, verses 1 to 6, as we've read it. There was hindrance by ridicule. The first attempt to hinder the work there in this chapter was by really being made fun of. They were being laughed at and being mocked. We see that in verses 1 to 3 in particular, because verse 4 to 6 is really the response to that. But in verses 1 to 3, we find the enemy ridiculed Nehemiah and those working with him. Sanballat, it said, mocked the Jews. The word mock means to deride or have in derision, to laugh to scorn, to speak unintelligibly. They were really making fun of them. They thought, what a joke, what a laugh, that they think that they can get this work done. But these were said to be Sanballat's brethren that were amongst it here, and the Samaritan army. But somehow, the word got back to Nehemiah. It was a intimidation tactic, perhaps we might say. Because look at what they questioned here that Nehemiah knew of and heard of. He says, verse number 2, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? He questioned their physical ability. How are they ever going to get the job done? How do these captives think they can rebuild this city that's in ruins? It's in a mess. How do they ever think that they're going to be able to do it? He called them feeble. That means weak or destitute of physical strength, sickly, debilitated by age and not strong. He said, what are these guys going to do? They can't do it. They're not up to the task that needs to be done. They won't be able to physically handle that task. Then they also question their motives. Why are they doing this? Will they fortify themselves? Are they trying to protect themselves and build the walls back up so that they will, you know, be protected from the enemy? Are they trying to fortify themselves? Are they trying to sacrifice? What's their aim? What's their goal in doing this? Is they going to try and rebel against the king? They'd already suggested that back in chapter 2, verse number 19. And then he also says, how are they ever going to get the job done? I mean, not only the physical lack of physical ability, and not only do we wonder why they're doing it, but look what they got to work with. How are they going to revive the stones? Are they going to, you know, somehow get them back to the original shape and form again? How are they ever going to get the job done? Will they finish in a day? It was a huge job. They must have been really working hard, mustn't they? For the enemy to say, will they finish in a day? They must have been evidently working very hard that the enemy could see. These guys are serious. They want to get this job done. But they were questioning, what are they going to do? Will they revive the stones? Where are they going to get the materials to finish this job? They questioned all this not knowing how God had already gone before Nehemiah, how the king had already given orders for people to protect them, and how the king had already given wood to be used, all kinds of things. But here they question them to try and stop them from doing the work. The stones had been burnt, and the city was burned by fire when it was conquered, and that limestone had crumbled and lying dormant for so many years, it must have just all those crumbly rocks. How are they ever going to get that wall rebuilt? And so they questioned this and sought to make fun of them in the process. And then we come to verse number 3, and Tobiah joining in with Sanballat, it says, even that which they build, if a fox go up it, it's going to fall down. I mean, they think they're going to rebuild a wall to fortify their city? Are you kidding me? The way they're building, a fox is going to make it fall over. Now, foxes are known to be light-footed and, you know, quick and very discreet in their going. Obviously, slight of foot, light in weight. If it couldn't stand up to a fox, it couldn't stand up to anything. And so he says, if a fox climbs up that wall, the wall is going to fall down. You realize that as many times that if people can't stop the work of God being done outright, then they'll resort to making fun. Oh, I look at what they're doing. Ha, ha, ha. What a joke. What a laugh. And they try and make fun of what is being done for God. The enemies to the work of God use ridicule to hinder the work of God, just as they did in this day. And isn't it the same today? What do those Christians think they can do? Those Christians think they can convert everybody? Well, we know we can't convert anybody of ourselves, but we know that our God is great and powerful and He can do great things. But people will make fun, won't they? Oh, they're just trying to convert everybody. You start trying to share the gospel with people and somebody else hears it and say, oh, he just tries to convert everyone. They think they can convert everybody. Ha, ha, ha. You know, oh, pray for me. Oh, yeah, pray for me. Ha, ha, laugh, laugh. And they make fun by ridicule. It still takes place today, just as it took place back in Nehemiah's day, questioning the ability that we have to get the job done, the motives for doing it, and the ability to finish the job, and so on. And let's face it, it can be discouraging. You know, the little rhyme that we used to hear as children, sticks and stones may break my bones, but calling names won't hurt me. But it's really not true, is it? Because we are hurt by words. And sometimes we get discouraged because of what people say to us about what we're doing. And as Christians, sometimes we do get discouraged because of people saying, oh, well, they'll never get that done, or this won't happen, and we kind of feel, maybe they're right. And we get discouraged by those things. But what did Nehemiah do when faced with that ridicule and that opposition in that way? Verse number 4, he prayed. Because verse number 3 is Tobiah speaking. Verse number 4 is a change of thought. It's Nehemiah. Hear, O our God, and hear what we're facing, Lord. Listen to what's going on here. Nehemiah's recourse was prayer, to pray to God and ask God to be with them in the job that needed to be done. From what we see here, Nehemiah didn't send a note to Sanballat and Tobiah. He didn't say, hey guys, quit making fun of us, all right? From what's recorded in chapter 4, at this particular time, there was no conversation between Nehemiah and Sanballat or Tobiah. The recourse was, Lord, you can hear what's going on here. We need your help. We need you to intervene in the situation and circumstance. He calls upon God to help him. What would he say to Sanballat and Tobiah anyway? I mean, when somebody is making fun and laughing at you, really, how do you answer that? You can't answer to it sufficiently to stop them doing that usually. And so Nehemiah says, I'm just going to talk to God about it. God brought me here to do this job, and I'm going to do it for God's glory, and He's the one I'm going to talk to. No time to argue. There's a job to be done. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, people make fun of us as Christians. It doesn't even deserve an answer. It's not even worth trying to answer. And we find that God says that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 14. Let's look over there. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 14. And also in Titus chapter 3, we find a similar thought there. You know, sometimes we just say, just keep busy and don't worry about it. It's not worth getting into an argument with people who are just trying to make fun and not, you know, they're not going to take our answer anyway. 2 Timothy 2:14 says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Don't strive to words of no profit. There's no good end sometimes. You can't tell people something that they won't listen to. And if people are just making fun of you witnessing for the Lord or living for God, sometimes it's best just to leave it. Don't touch it, just talk to the Lord about it and carry on doing what's right. Because to try and answer just sometimes inflames the situation. Just keep on doing what God has called you to do and faithfully do that. And Nehemiah's prayer may seem a little vengeful to us, doesn't it? Cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out. For they provoked thee. He says, Lord, they provoked you to anger. From Nehemiah's perspective, they didn't deserve God's forgiveness. Again, that's not our call to make necessarily, but Nehemiah said, Lord, I don't want you to even forgive them for doing this. They're hindering your work. And this is something, Lord, that you need to deal with. But we learn from Nehemiah when he was faced with a situation, he just kept on working and committed it to God. His first recourse was that of prayer and diligence to the job, because this is where we find that key verse for the whole book, which says, so built we the wall, and to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Just keep on working. Just keep on walking, working, let those discouraging words run off your back like water off a duck's back, and just keep on going. Just keep on serving God. Keep on working. They had half the job done because they kept doing what needed to be done. They had a mind to work. They wanted to do it. They wanted to see it come to its completion, and they didn't let these discouraging words come in between them. And so may God help us when faced with the discouragement that people may be laughing at us, and sometimes they do. Just keep on doing what God has called us to do, and trust the results to Him, and talk to Him about that. We see there was another hindrance, though, and that is by conspiracy. In verses 7 to 9, it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. All of a sudden, it wasn't just Sanballat and Tobiah. Now Sanballat and Tobiah have the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, and they're saying, we're going to put a stop to this. They didn't listen to our words, but now we're going to fight against them and we're going to stop them from building that wall. The opposition didn't stop, it increased. In chapter 2, verse 10, we find their enemies were grieved. In chapter 4, verse 1, as we've read it, they were angry or wroth. And then in chapter 4, verse 7, as we just read it, they were very wroth. They got madder and madder when they saw the work carrying on that Nehemiah and those building were doing. You know, sometimes we think, the people will quit bothering us. Well, they don't always quit bothering, do they? You stand for something what's right. Sometimes those of you who work in places where there may be people who make fun of your faith in Christianity or family members or what have you, sometimes you think, can't they just let it go? Some people don't just let it go. And the more they see your commitment to your faith, sometimes the angrier, the more frustrated they get by that. And it increases. And so they conspire to bring others into the work, and to stop that work, to fight against the work that was being done. But what did they do? Well, again, we find that it says in verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. They continued to pray. Lord, you've seen this. You've seen what they're doing. Now look what they're doing. Lord, it's gone from words to action. Now they've got their weapons out and they're ready to start fighting against us to stop us doing. Lord, we've got to give this to you. We made our recourse or our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night. Nevertheless, they just carried on. They made their prayer unto God. The Bible tells us that in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're to make our request known unto God. Hannah prayed in distress because she didn't have a child. And God heard her cry and gave her a child. After some period of time, we find that Samuel was born, of course. David prayed because his men were ready to kill him. They were ready to stone him. When they came back from helping fight in a battle, they came back and their city was destroyed. And his own men said, that's enough of David. We're going to get rid of him. And David cried out to God and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed because Sennacherib, the king, had laid siege on Jerusalem. And they said, Lord, you got to help us. And as Christians in our life, again, we need to be reminded, if we're discouraged or opposed, we need to bring that to God, to be people of prayer like Nehemiah. But they didn't stop with prayer. We know they kept on working and they prayed, but also they did set a watch. They set a watch. Their prayer didn't negate the need to watch. They trusted God to deliver them, and yet they realized as a practical end of this, we need to set up a watch. These people are trying to kill us. They're trying to stop the work going forward, and so therefore we need to set up a watch. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:31 that the horse is prepared unto the battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, God gives us a brain. God gives us abilities to do what we can do to accomplish what we need to get done. And it doesn't mean when we trust God, it doesn't mean to say we don't do any of that should be done. We do that by faith and trust God for what we cannot do. Nehemiah and these with him, they said, these people are trying to stop us by fighting against us. We need to set a watch while we pray and work. We're trusting God to do what He can do and what He can do far greater than us, but we need to act also. Prayer is not an excuse for inaction. Sometimes we may think, well, if I need a job, then I'll just sit at home and I'll pray until God sends me a job. Well, I think God expects us to say, well, if we need a job, I'm going to pray for God to direct me while I send out resumes and while I apply for a job and while I do what I can and trusting God to do what I cannot and go above and beyond what I can do. Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 26 on the night of his crucifixion and betrayal and crucifixion, he said, watch and pray. The two things go together, watch and pray. Do something about it and trust what you cannot do to God to do what he can do. Matthew 7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So while we're asking, we need to be seeking and knocking. That's our part. We need to recognize, as Nehemiah did, yes, we're trusting God, but we're also doing what we're able to do to withstand this opposition that we are facing. Verse number 10 comes to a third kind of opposition that they face that day, and this is completely different than the other two. The other two were the enemy from the outside, first of all laughing, then acting on that and trying to defeat them by fighting against them. But it says in verse number 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. So it wasn't the enemy anymore. It wasn't from outside. The hindrance to building the wall, all of a sudden, was from within. The strength of the workers was decayed, and there was much rubbish that was there. Can you imagine how much rubble there was in Jerusalem? I mean, those walls that had been built, they were knocked down by the enemy way back many years before. They were set on fire. The gates were set on fire. And then it's been sat basically half empty. You know what happens to cities and buildings and things when they're really not used? They decay. And they fall down. And this city that had been such a glorious city had fallen into great decay. And we can only imagine the amount of rubble that was piled up all over the city. And as they're trying to rebuild those walls and get them all back in order, there's these broken rocks and all this garbage that's all around there. It was in the way. It hindered the work. It had to be removed for the work to carry on. But removing it wore down their strength. You ever wheeled a wheelbarrow full of rocks over a rocky kind of place or rough kind of place, or a wheelbarrow full of dirt? I mean, it's harder than it looks, isn't it? Say, well, you got a wheel and it's no problem, right? But no, you know that ground? Their strength was being decayed by removing the rubble out of the way. And yet it was necessary that the rubble be removed. You know, in the Christian life, we recognize that there are opposition sometimes from without. People want to stop us from growing as a church. They want to stop us from sharing the gospel as Christians. They want to make fun of what we're doing sometimes when we're standing for right. And we recognize there's opposition from without. But also, we have to deal with ourselves, don't we? We have to deal with our own flesh that says, hey, you don't need to get up earlier to read your Bible and pray. Just sleep in. You need the rest. Don't worry about, a personal walk with God. Don't worry about being faithful to church. Don't worry about telling others about the Lord. That's what we fight with ourselves, our flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that it was a constant battle going on in his life. Hebrews tells us that we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies, aren't we? We are hindered by the rubbish that's in our own life, the rubble that's there. And we say our strength is decayed because we're trying to work around all this garbage. What needs to happen? We need to get rid of the garbage so that we can concentrate on building our lives. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There are hindrances in our own lives that we must lay aside so that we can finish the race, so we can keep building in our life and building the wall, as it were, in our life. We find in the last part of the chapter there was another hindrance here, and we read at verse 11 beginning here. It says, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass that from that time forth, that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall one from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. I'm sure that they were glad that they were put off for washing. Amen. Got the clothes washed and the people washed from all their work. But there was hindrance by secret attack. The enemy had a plan. We're just going to sneak in the middle of them. And while they're not expecting, surprise attack. We're going to attack them from within. Then we're going to defeat them. We're going to kill them. And the work's going to stop. You got to say these enemies were persistent in looking to stop the work. And they were wanting to make sure that work got stopped in its tracks. The plot was foiled by some who had heard of it in verse number 12, that the Jews which dwelt by them came and said unto us 10 times. Well, they wanted to make sure they heard the message. They've got a plan. They're going to try and defeat you. They're going to come in the middle and they're going to kill you. And they're going to stop the work from being done. Isn't it great to know that nothing is hidden from God? Remember when one of the prophets of old, I can't remember which one it was, I guess it was Elisha, he was told of God when the king of Syria was going to attack. And every time he went to the king and said, King, the king of Syria is going to attack over here. And he said, they got ready. And when the enemy came to that place, Israel was ready. And the king of Syria said, what's going on here? I must have a traitor amongst my own people because everywhere I go, they're ready for us when they get there. How do they know this? But it was God revealing those plans to Elisha. Nothing is hidden from God. And God says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices either. Satan is persistent and he wants to stop the work being done, and he's trying to do all kinds of things to stop God's people from going forward for God, from growing in their faith and reaching others with the gospel. And we need to recognize and realize that he's not happy until the work is stopped. But God is on our side. And Nehemiah responded here and he said, okay, we've got to have a plan to deal with this attack. His plan involved protection. He stayed below the wall. They didn't stand on top of the wall and said, hey guys, we're here. If you want to shoot at us, we're right here in plain sight. No, the Bible says he stayed below the wall in verse number 13 so that they couldn't be seen as well. It was a place that was hidden. He placed those with weapons where they could see and respond to the attacks. So there were some who had weapons and they were where they could see, as watching for the enemy to come. He encouraged his people. It says in verse 14, he looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and the people, Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. He says God's on our side. Just do what you need to do and fight. Remember, God is with us. Then fight for your families and for your homes. And let's continue on and get the work done and get the work accomplished. God was the one who could bring their counsel to naught, to nothing. God was the one who would give them the victory. And so Nehemiah said, you need to be encouraged. Don't be discouraged and quit by the attack, but carry on. But we need to also remember, don't we, that the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? As Christians, yes, the devil wants to stop us in our tracks and stop us from growing in our faith, but God says, hey, I'm on your side. And God is greater, as the Bible says, greater than he that is in us than he that is in the world. Nehemiah encouraged them with those thoughts and then planned a very practical situation. There were some on guard, some building. There were some with tools in one hand and weapons in the other. They were ready to build and they were ready to fight. The trumpet was ready, so if the enemy attacked, the trumpet would be blown. Everyone knew what to do. They had a plan of attack. They had a plan to deal with the attack. Then they would be prepared for their battle. And they ultimately realized and remembered the battle is the Lord's, and we're going to carry on serving and trust God to do what God only can do. We can't win the battle in our own strength, but we can win the battle knowing that God is on our side. David said when he faced Goliath, you may have all your armor, but I've got God on my side. And we are hindered sometimes from within, sometimes from without in our life, but we need to remember God is on our side. He is for us. And we can go forward for Him and look to Him to give us the victory that He has promised that He would do. They were to stay together and always be prepared in verses 21 to 23. They were to work together. Again, they had a mind to work together and they labored together and they were to watch out for one another and to carry on the work that needed to be done. And so whenever we go forward for God, either individually or as a church, As Christian people, we realize the enemy is going to try and stop that work. He's going to try and stop that work by different means. Sometimes it's just words that are there to discourage us. And people will say, the whole thing about this creation evolution debate that was on just a couple weeks ago, you follow some of the news from that. There's, you know, the evolutionists coming out strong and saying, oh, that, what a joke, that Christianity, believing that God really made the world in 6 days and the world's only a few thousand years old, and that's a joke. This has proved that wrong. Well, it's the enemy saying, you Christians, just give it up. It's their words. They're speaking words. And sometimes we can get discouraged by that and say, what's going on? How do we respond to that? Yeah, sometimes it's very physically people opposing us individually and trying to stop us from going forward for God. Sometimes it's those things in our own life that we need to deal with and lay aside so that we can carry on the work that God has called us to do. We must respond in prayer by faith, but also be practical like Nehemiah and carry on the work that God has called us to do. If we carry on despite the opposition in God's strength, we can count on God's power, provision, and ultimately see Him get the glory for the victory that He brings about in our life. And so as we look at this chapter and think about this chapter, we realize there are hindrances, but we can overcome those hindrances in our life as we trust God and seek Him in our life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for this time and thank You for this opportunity to look at this great chapter once again. Lord, we've seen some different hindrances that came into the rebuilding of the wall, and we recognize that they can be some of the same hindrances that we face in our life as Christians and as a church family. And so we pray, Lord, that You'd help us to take heed to these things and realize that, Lord, You are the one who can give us the strength to carry on. Lord, You've given us mind and heart to be in Your battle and to do Your work, and I pray that You'd help us to use the wisdom that You bestow upon us through Your Word and through our fellowship with fellow believers, and Lord, to trust You and to carry on what we need to do for Your glory. And so, Lord, I pray that this week we'd be encouraged, and Lord, that we'd realize that the oppositions that we face can be overcome. Lord, we do pray that You'd help us to be victorious Christians in our life. For Lord, it's our desire that we would see many other people come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, that we would be able to enter heaven all the more excited, all the more great anticipation, because we have family and friends who we have invited to come with us, as it were, Lord, and seen many come to know you as their Savior. And so, Lord, help us, we pray, not to grow weary, but to be strong in you and in the power of your might, to commit ourselves to you, to pray when that opposition comes, that we would carry through the work until you call us home, Lord, wherever that may be. And we believe that it will likely be very soon, Lord, as we see what's going on. But until then, I pray you'd help us to be faithful, victorious Christians, and learn these lessons even from the life of Nehemiah, we pray. Lord, if we need to come and talk to you at the altar tonight, even in the invitation time, I pray that you'd help us to do that. Lord, may we've been discouraged and need to just come and commit that to you in prayer at the altar tonight. Lord, I pray that if that be the case, that we would do that. And just give us wisdom, Lord, we pray, this week in our lives to serve you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.